Psalm 134. We're coming today to the very end of our spring and summer sermon series through these psalms, the songs of ascents. And Lord willing, right at Labor Day weekend, we'll start a brand new sermon series. The plan is to study through the book of Ephesians. So you can look for that to begin, Lord willing, in September. But today we have Psalm 135. Here we are at the end of these pilgrim songs, these songs used by the pilgrims in the Old Covenant as they make their way to the temple in Jerusalem, and a reminder to us of our own journey towards the Lord and towards our heavenly homeland. And here we have the final one, Psalm 134. So let's read it together. Psalm 134, a song of ascents. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. And may the Lord bless us through his word this very day. So the last few weeks, we've introduced our Psalm of the Week with a quote of the week. So lest I disappoint in our final study, here is the quote of the week. It's Pastor Eugene Peterson from his study on these Psalms. And here's what he writes, reflecting on Psalm 134. He writes this. He says, "The way of discipleship that begins in an act of repentance concludes in a life of praise." The life of discipleship, the way of discipleship, the Christian journey that begins in an act of repentance concludes in a life of praise. And in that one statement, he begins to summarize really our whole study through these Psalms. If you remember where we began months ago, Psalm 120, we talked about where the Christian journey begins is an act of repentance. If you go back to Psalm 120 and our study there, you remember it begins in a really strange place. Here is the psalmist. He looks around and just sees ugliness everywhere, a spiritual wasteland. And we said that's part of what the Lord does in order to get us going. We called it actually the pilgrim's prod. Like a cattle prod, if you're going to begin a life of pilgrimage, a life of journeying to another better homeland, you first need to be convinced that the place where you are is a mess and not worth staying in. And that's what repentance is all about. You see the mess around you and you see the mess in you. And you realize, I can't stay, I'm going to go to somewhere better. And there's where the Christian life begins, the Christian journey begins. And then the rest of the Psalms have taken us along the journey. Critical things we've seen along the way. How God is the one who promises that he will be our keeper, our help, every step of the journey. Psalm 121. We saw that God is the one who promises to turn our tears in the journey into shouts of joy. That was 126. That God is the one who builds his kingdom. 127. That he's the one who forgives our sins, 130. That he's the one who calms our anxious souls, 131. The middle of the road, very important. But where does it end? Where does the Christian journey end up? Well, let me ask you, where would you like your journey to end? Not thinking end here as much as in the sense of location, But goal. Where would you like your life, your journey, what goal would you like it to get to? Get toward and ultimately arrive at the end of the day? Where would you like your life to end up as? The ultimate goal. Maybe you could ask it this way. What do you think God wants for that ultimate end, that ultimate goal of your life? Well, here's how Peterson describes, summarizes where the Psalms of ascent seem to take us at the end of the day. That what began as an act of repentance ultimately concludes a life of praise. A life of praise. God's ultimate goal for us, His ultimate end for us. Or, to use the words of an even more famous quotation, man's chief end, his chief goal, is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But we won't take it just on the account of a couple of human authors. Let's get it from the Word of God itself, Psalm 134. Here is the end of the road for the songs of ascents. And what is the end of the road? Where does it stop? What's the ultimate goal where this whole journey has been taking us? And notice the focus. A life of praise and blessing unto God. You actually can break down the psalm into two pieces. 1 to 2, the call is to the servants of the Lord to bless the Lord. Then you have verse 3, seems to be a response to that. God will bless you. So a call, bless the Lord. Then the response, the Lord bless you. Let's take them one at a time. We'll actually spend far more time on the first part and the call to bless the Lord. Let's just read the first verse again. Come, or perhaps even more literally, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. So what's being talked about here? Or perhaps even more specifically, who is being talked about here? Who are all you servants of the Lord? Now, there is a definite sense in which every one of God's people is a servant of the Lord. In the Old Covenant, all of Israel was called a servants of God. That was the whole point of the Exodus. That God was going to take His people out of slavery, out of being servants of Pharaoh, so that they could all be servants of the Lord. So there's a sense in which all of God's people, all of you, all, me included, we're all servants of the Lord. But in the Old Covenant, there were specific individuals who had special tasks in serving and ministering to the Lord. And it very well might be what's referred to here, especially the language as it's given to us in the context of the temple. So, for example, some of the special servants of the Lord were the priests and the Levites. The whole tribe of Levi, so one of the 12 tribes of Israel, was set apart for the special task of a life of service unto the Lord. Here's how Moses explains their work. This is in the days when the tabernacle and the ark was moving around. Here is what the Levites were supposed to do. And listen for the language. Moses says, Deuteronomy 10, at that time the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister to Him, and to bless His name to this day. Then you get when the ark becomes stationary in the days of David, and there is a reorganizing of the Levites, but now one of the things they were called to do was to assist the sons of Aaron, the priests, with the offering of sacrifices for sin. And we're told in 1 Chronicles 23, they were to stand every morning thanking and praising the Lord, and likewise evening. So you get this idea. They were supposed to be there morning and evening, the morning sacrifice, the evening sacrifice, standing before the Lord in the house of the Lord, the tabernacle that then becomes the temple, and help the priests in offering sacrifices. 1 Chronicles 9 says that among these Levites was a group of singers, and they were on duty day and night singing to the Lord. So you have this very similar language, a group of servants of the Lord standing before the Lord. The context is the temple and by night. And so it seems like Psalm 134 seems like it's referring specifically to these servants among other people. 1/12 of God's people set apart. Able to join us again online or maybe even watch this later. If you watch it in conjunction with the first half, then you realize the comedy of errors that right in the middle of the sermon, the heavens opened and began to rain. So we trust, knowing God's the weatherman, that He sent the rain. So He obviously wanted things to get a little interesting. But we do need to finish the sermon because it is God's word. We were reading earlier and beginning to talk about Psalm 134. Why don't I just read it real quick? It's only a couple verses. So if you're joining us for the first time, you can you can get the full scripture. So here's Psalm 134, this final song of ascents. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. And we introduced this quotation as we reflect on the psalm, which is, the way of discipleship begins with an act of repentance and concludes with a life of praise. Concludes with a life of praise. In other words, where does God have us going? A life centered on Him and on praise. And we have Psalm 134 at the end of this journey of psalms that's all about praising the Lord. That's the focus of the first part. God's call, the call to praise the Lord, to bless the Lord. And the second part, the response, God will bless us. So we began looking at the first part, where we have this call that comes out to, behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. And we started to look at that phrase, the servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. And there seems to be good evidence to see that this is referring to the Levites in the Old Covenant, this tribe of the God's people who were dedicated to standing there in the temple, assisting the priest with offering sacrifices every morning, every evening, a group of singers that would sing, it seems, even around the clock, day and night, before the Lord. And so you have this powerful picture of servants of the Lord dedicating to standing, and their job is to bless the Lord. And we're beginning to think about what that tells us. First of all, what that tells us about the Lord Himself and about the Lord's worth. Consider that God's people, a whole 12th of God's people, are given this job, that they're to focus on serving the Lord, on around the clock even, blessing God and blessing His name. And what this must say about the worth of God, that He is worthy of this type of ongoing praise. And we were thinking, what does that say about God? Does that mean God is an egomaniac? Because after all, if I suggested that this happened to me, you guys would begin to worry about me, right? If I asked 1/12 of the congregation to come and sit in front of my house and 24/7 sing my praises, you would begin to worry. You would run, rightly so. Why? What's the problem there? Is the problem just the singing of praises? No. The problem comes in when you consider the object of the praise. I'm not worthy of that praise and adoration, 24-hour blessing unto my name as a created being, as a sinner at that. But God, of course, is a different story. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the one who holds every planet together, who holds every atom together. Every rock and tree sings His praises. We read from Revelation that picture that in heaven itself, all the angels, along with saints who have gone before, they continually, day and night, sing the praises of God. He's actually worthy of it. It says something powerful about God and His worth. And then also then begins to say something powerful about God's people and our calling. Because even though I think we're right to understand these servants of the Lord to be in context referring to the Levites, it doesn't mean that they do this work so the rest of Israel gets out of praising God. In fact, the Levites, as a part of that priestly tribe, were to represent the whole nation. That was part of why they were to do it. They were to represent everybody. Everybody in the nation of Israel couldn't stand before the temple 24/7, couldn't be a part of this morning and evening sacrifice every day after day. But the Levites were to represent God's people. Actually, in fact, there are some scholars who believe that's part of how this psalm functioned within its use in the Songs of Ascents. Because here you have it at the end, and we've said it was used, these psalms were used as pilgrims would go to the temple and praise God during the festivals. But then, of course, at the end of a feast, the people would have to go home. And some scholars will look at this psalm at the very end of this cycle, these pilgrim psalms, and say, Perhaps that's how it was used as the final psalm of the feast or somewhere around there. The pilgrims are about to go home and they're calling out to the Levites, "You Levites, you servants who stand by night in the house of the Lord, you keep blessing God." In other words, we have to go home. We can't be here and stay here, but God is worthy of this ongoing praise unto Him. Well, either way, it reflects a calling on the part of man, that our calling is to bless God, as we read earlier. That's where God is taking us. Our chief end, our chief goal is to glorify God, is to render praise unto Him. And it's a good place to begin to think about how Jesus fits into this psalm. We've said this again and again. We're never going to understand the Psalms rightly until we understand how Jesus fits in. How does Jesus fit in to this particular psalm? Well, we can see Jesus as the ultimate Levite. Jesus is the one who stands before the Lord to facilitate sacrifice. That was part of the Levite's job, right? They helped the priests offer sacrifice. Moses told them. Well, Jesus is the ultimate one who facilitates sacrifice to God. Only He doesn't just assist, He does the whole job Himself. He offers the final sacrifice of His own body and blood up to the Lord there at the cross to take away our sin, which of course is really good news when we think about our calling to praise the Lord, because so often we don't live that way. We don't live a life of living with the goal of God's glory. How often is there a part of us deep down where we kind of do wish there was a big crowd outside of our house 24/7 singing our praises? And in some ways, we even try to manipulate life sometimes so that there is a little chorus unto our praise all the time. There we are. We're the glory stealers. That's who we are in our sin. We try to take the glory that belongs to God and take it for ourselves. But here is Jesus coming to die for that very sin, so that we can be cleansed from it, so that we can be renewed away from it. There's the glory of the sacrifice Jesus, the ultimate Levite, presents unto God. But also Jesus, though His sin-bearing work is done, Jesus doesn't stop in His praise unto the Lord, His service unto the Father. In fact, if you read Hebrews 2 and look at it really carefully, there's this wonderful picture of Jesus in Hebrews 2 as the worship leader of the people of God. That here is part of what Jesus is doing, is He's leading the chorus of God's people in singing praises to the Father. That He is like the ultimate Levite, the ultimate singer before the Lord 24/7. And He's not only just doing it by Himself, but He's leading all of God's people unto praise to the Lord, which we've seen that again and again. This is what Jesus does. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the one who goes before us and blazes the trail of the pilgrim journey so that we can come along with Him. And He's the one who strengthens us to do what He begins and He then works in us. So it does come back to us. Having seen Jesus as the ultimate one who lives unto the glory of the Father and now leads us in song, we're strengthened to live this out ourselves. That our chief end is more and more called to be to glorify God. And you can even from this psalm begin to see some practical ways we might be able to do this. So a few suggestions by way of application, even from the language of the psalm. So here's the first suggestion. Think comprehensive. This day and night ministry of the Levites in the Old Covenant begins to think of the plan, the calling to have a comprehensive life of praise. Now, obviously, we can't be in church singing 24/7. But we're to think of all of life as having this same goal, a blessing unto God, a praise unto God. What does the Scripture say? But whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So thinking comprehensively means wherever the Lord takes us, whatever task He puts in front of us, whatever specific duty, whatever specific good work He lays out and prepares for us, it's to be thought of as an act of praise and worship. Lord, take this part of my job. Take this part of my day. Take this, even when we go to rest and sleep, Lord, even as I lay my head down, may it be a blessing unto you. May it be an act of worship as I trust in you. And then we could also begin to think of how to build into life patterns that begin to reflect this comprehensive pattern of praise unto the Lord. Now, we don't need to go back and try to repeat what the Levites did, but we can certainly learn from it. We're not called to even offer sacrifices, morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice, in that same way. But we can begin to copy and learn from that pattern. Perhaps you can even think about your own life, your own devotional walk. Can you build in regular practices that begin to reflect a life of praise? Maybe it's a morning time of devotions and by yourself, and then an evening time of prayer with your family. Patterns like that that begin to give this picture of all of life praise unto the Lord. And of course, Lord's Day worship is the ultimate new covenant pattern of dedicating all of life. We start every week with that Lord's Day offering unto God. Which then brings us to thinking about how church, how the community of faith fits in with a life of praise. Excuse me. One of the things we do see here in this psalm is that the context of blessing unto the Lord is not a solo venture. It's the people of God as a people. Even the Levites as special servants did it as a group. And so it is for us as new covenant servants of the Lord. We're to offer our praise unto God as His people. And so church then becomes not just a sidelight, not just, well, if we happen to be have extra time, we'll get around to it and show up on a particular week. It becomes really the embodiment of our calling in the most powerful way. It's the part of the week where we really get to, in most concentrated form, live out the place that God is taking us to, a life of praise. And so making it the cornerstone of our week and our pattern of life, not out of guilt, but out of, this is where God is taking me. This is where God has me going. This is where the life He's building in me. And so I'm gonna make this the essential priority of who I am and what my week looks like. One more practical suggestion from this psalm about living out a life of blessing unto God comes from the second verse as we think about practicing prayer. Because we're told in verse 2, the people encourage the Levites to lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Lifting hands was an old covenant posture for prayer. The holy place is that temple. And we're told when the temple was dedicated that if people prayed to the temple, the special presence of God, that God would answer them. And so in the old covenant context, this seems to be an encouragement to offer prayer unto God, lifting up hands that are needy to receive the care and the provision of the Lord. And that's a calling we're to do down through the ages. And you can see how that fits in here with an overall calling of blessing and adoring God. There is nothing that blesses God more than us relying on Him in prayer. As we say to Him with our requests and our empty hands ready to receive from Him, Lord, You're powerful. Lord, You're worthy. Lord, You're good, and I trust You. And that's what prayer is, which is an encouragement to us to pray, not out of guilt, but out of excitement. We can challenge ourselves. A lot of times we begin to worry that maybe if we're nagging God to bring our requests before Him. Well, actually, prayer is not at all nagging God. It's the most powerful way in which we express our trust unto Him. It's saying, Lord, You're blessed because You're worthy. I can't do it. I don't have the power, but You can, and You promise good to Your people. So the calling to bless the Lord, this is where He's taking us. All of life, praise unto Him. And then quickly we want to consider verse 3 as we see the response here of the promise of blessing. So the initial call is, bless the Lord, you servants of the Lord. And then there seems to be in verse 3 this response as the priests and cry back, it seems, and the Levites cry back, may the Lord bless you from Zion. May the Lord bless you from Zion. Now this, we need to understand, is not a prayer, verse 3. It's not a prayer, it's a pronouncement. It's not, well, we're asking the Lord to care for you. It's a statement from God. It's what we speak of as a benediction. We do this at the end of a service here at Emmanuel, and most churches do. Pronounce a benediction. It's not a prayer, which is why, incidentally, it's okay to look up with eyes open, because it's not a prayer where we feel like we need to adopt the posture of bowing our heads. It's a pronouncement. Here's what God promises. And that's what you have here. A benediction, a pronouncement. May the Lord bless you. This is what the priests would do in the Old Covenant. The worshipers would be sent away from the temple with a blessing from God. All right, there at the holy place, there from Zion, God's blessing flowing forth. And it's the reminder that God, to His people, promises to bless them. He promises. Just think about that for a minute. Well, first you can consider how ultimately, again, you see Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate final high priest. Jesus is the one who not only pronounces blessing, he earns it. This is how we know and can be confident that God will bless us, because it's not our worth, it's Jesus and his perfect work for us. The blessing is earned by God. We don't have to worry that when we hear a benediction, if we're in Christ, oh, well, I don't deserve that. Well, yeah, none of us do. But Jesus earned it. So Jesus is the one who earns the blessing and the one who gives it through His Word and through His Spirit. But just consider for a minute this simple statement. God promises to bless His people. He promises. He promises. And think of that in the context of what we're studying here with this final psalm. We've said that this really shows us a picture of where God is taking His people. The ultimate goal, the ultimate destination. That the ultimate goal and destination for God's people is this life of praise. And I wonder if, as we consider that, a life, that's where God is taking us, a life of all about God, all about His praise, centered on His glory. I wonder if there's a part of us that hears that and begins to worry a little bit. That deep down, there's a little bit of a worry that if I am taken to a place by God where it's all about Him, I wonder if we begin to worry a little bit, yeah, but will I get lost in the process? If I make it all about God, will I get forgotten about? Will I be cared for if my life is really all about Him? Well, here's the great encouragement. Here's the great response. As the call goes out, bless the Lord, what's the response we get back from God's throne? He promises to bless. He promises to bless. That He who made heaven and earth, the final verse says, the one who has all power and authority in the heavenly places, He promises to bless His people. And it's part of the irony of the Christian life. Do you remember Jesus making that statement that the one who seeks to save his life will lose it? And the one, but yet on the other hand, the one who loses his life for my sake will find it? Right? That there's the irony that if you try to hold on and save your own life, you actually end up losing it. But yet if you give your life to Christ, you actually end up finding life. Well, it's the same principle with blessing. If you seek to in life run after all the blessing, grab the goodies with two hands and seek it with everything, you actually end up losing blessing. But yet we see here and throughout Scripture, if you seek instead to have your life centered on not grabbing blessing for you, but blessing unto the Lord, a life of praise and adoration, you actually discover that you end up finding the most blessed life there is. That is, you, even following the flow of this psalm, cry out with your life, blessing unto God with all comprehensive my being and the world, guess what? You end up finding the response from the Lord is, the Lord bless you from Zion. As you seek to give your life in praise and glorifying God, you end up being the one who is most blessed. What an encouragement that is. That you, we can't out-bless God. We can't out-give God. And in fact, as we give unto Him, the response, as we praise unto Him, the response from Him, He started it actually, and then comes right back, the blessing to us. And of course, on this earth, that's just the beginning. Where ultimately God is taking us is our heavenly home. Our heavenly home where we will get to live this out in full. We read from Revelation, didn't we, earlier in the service, where the picture there was the people gathered around God's throne. They're blessing God, but yet they are the ones who are in the heavenly places enjoying the fullness of joy. And that's our ultimate destination as well. So here's our summary for not only this psalm, but really the entire study on the songs of ascents. At the way of discipleship, the path of the Christian life, the journey of the Christian life, what begins in an act of repentance concludes with a life of praise. That man's chief end, his chief goal, where God is taking you and me as His people, is this life of glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. That's the goal of the journey, that it's all about Him. But yet that's a very good thing, because He's worthy of all praise and blessing, and because in the midst of it, we end up being the most blessed people on earth. Not because we're worthy, but because He's earned it through His Son. So with that, let's close together in prayer. Father, we thank You and praise You. We rejoice in Your blessing and care. We're thankful, Lord, for Your Word, which instructs and encourages and guards us, Lord. We pray that indeed we would trust in You, and You would make in us, Your people, more and more, that those who live out this life of praise, Lord, even as we trust that the blessing will flow from Your heavenly throne. Lord, we praise You and adore You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, why don't we go ahead and close with a benediction? Seems appropriately enough. And we'll why don't we use this very benediction from Psalm 134? Again, it's not a prayer. It's God's blessing unto us, His promise that Christ earned. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. Amen and amen. Lord bless you. Well, thanks for hanging out, guys.
What was your quote last week that you started off with? It reminded me of something.
I so quickly forget.
You were saying it, and I was remembering.
Oh, it was last week. Let's see.